Good morning. I'm hijacking the service that I'm not taking just to share a couple of notices. I'm sure that many of you are aware of the news, but for those of you who are not, Eve Nelson died on Thursday morning in the most peaceful and beautiful of ways. And we pray for both Peter and Claudia and all their family as they enter into this new period of transition of life without Eve, of life without a light who has been a major part of this church community for a very long time, and who has been an exemplary Christian, even to the very last moments. And so let us say a short prayer for them now, as we hold her memory before God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life of one who was filled with love and service, who always put others ahead of herself, and who through her life and conduct was an example of your faithfulness and love towards us. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be with Peter and Claudia and with all of us as we mourn her loss and as we give her back to you. We pray that you will give them comfort and give them peace, and that in the remembering of all that she was, you will give us encouragement and strength to the glory of your holy name. Amen. I also recently shared the news that Joyce Veacock has sadly died as well, and her funeral will be not this week, but next week on Thursday at 11 o'clock, and all are warmly invited to come. But don't worry about wearing somber colours. Come as you are, and that will be lovely, and there will be an opportunity for sharing and fellowship after the service across the way in the sanctuary as well. So we remember her and all of them. Trust what Jean is saying. You are all welcome wherever they take you. And together it will be a good day of remembering another wonderful person who's been a part of this church family for a long time. I'm going to hand now over to Graham, who's going to talk about new life and new chapters with a reading of some bands.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
So welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the sixth Sunday after Trinity. As Samuel said, have the pleasure to read banns. So I publish the banns of marriage between Andrew Stuart Hart, single of this parish, and Sean and Harrod Rebecca Main, single also of this parish. This is for the second time of asking. If any of you know any reasons why these persons should not marry each other, you are to say so now. Excellent. We'll pray for them. Our Father in heaven, we lift to you Andrew and John. We ask, Lord, that you will bless them in all their preparations for their big day, and that you will be with them constantly in this new chapter of their lives together. Because we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So let's start our worship by singing. We'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn number 127, Glorious Things of the Outspoken.
Oh,
So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We sit or kneel for our prayer. As we say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. As we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate faults. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Collect prayer for today, the sixth Sunday after Trinity. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'd like to sit, we now hear God's word from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the second book of Samuel, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 1. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.' When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. David then took up residence in the fortress and called it the City of David. He built up the area around it from the terraces inward, and he became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading was taken from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 2. I know a man in Christ who, 14 years ago, was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up in paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. In a moment, David will be preaching for us, but before that, we'll sing our second hymn, a perfect hymn for a fellowship which is grieving. This is hymn 902, Lord of All Hopefulness. We stand to sing.
Thank you. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that's been given him? What are the remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and he'd heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust of your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my lips, the thoughts in all our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. Please be seated. In 1961, the Swedish warship Vasa broke the surface of the water after 333 years in the bottom of the sea. When it was built in 1628, the Vasa was a marvel of the latest technology. It was the atom bomb of its day, the biggest and mightiest of warships, with two decks and 64 massive cannons. On Sunday, August the 10th, 1628, the Vasa set her sails, fired a salute, and made her way into the harbour. But after only a few minutes of sailing, the ship began to heel over. She righted herself slightly and then heeled over again. Then, to everyone's horror and disbelief, the glorious and mighty warship suddenly sank, killing about 50 of the 150 people aboard. Many people wondered why the Vasa sank. Deep down in the Vasa, several tons of stone were stored as ballast to give the ship stability. But it was not enough to counteract the guns, the upper hull, the masts and the sails of the ship. When the ship began to heel over, water poured through the open lower gun ports and quickly sank the ship. Can you imagine how embarrassing the episode was for everyone involved? It was a horribly public failure. But then many of us could understand, because we have known failures that are almost public as this one. Failure is a word that strikes fear into the heart of everybody. Our society has become so successful orientated that we have very little tolerance of failure. We glamorize the Michael Jordans, the Tiger Woods of the world, and ridicule misfits and also-rans like you and me. Most of us can identify with failure. And we know from experience that failure is hard to cope with in a world like ours. The political fallout of the recent elections might tell us this. I find it very interesting that in our passage for today, Jesus both experienced failure himself and expected his disciples to fail. In my Bible, this paragraph is subtitled "The Rejection of Jesus at Nazareth." In the last part of this passage, Jesus gives his disciples instructions about what to do when they're rejected. Jesus has been moving from one success to another in his ministry. Up to this point, we've witnessed some of Jesus' most amazing miracles. The calming of the storm, the healing of the demon-possessed man, the restoration of Jairus' little daughter to life again. Now, searching for some rest, Jesus journeys back to his hometown in Nazareth. Today's gospel reading, Jesus comes home. He begins teaching in the synagogue, and at first, everyone is impressed. Mark tells us that the many who heard him were astounded. Where did he get this wisdom? What is this gift that's being given to him? What were these amazing things that are being done by his hands? But it isn't Mary and Joseph's son. Isn't he the kid that used to kick a ball around in the streets? Isn't he the same kid who tipped over a cow in the field? And then they were offended at his teaching. Who do they think he is? Some big shot? In Samaria, they loved him. In Cana, he could turn water into wine. In Jerusalem, he taught the rabbis a thing or two. But in Nazareth, he was just Jesus, the kid from the woodshop. This is actually the third time that Jesus had tasted a glimpse of failure in his ministry. Previously, his own family called him crazy and tried to restrain him. And again, his mother and brothers and sisters tried again to remove him from his teaching ministry. Here in his hometown, he meets with out and out rejection, prompting him to utter his famous line. A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house. Then Jesus turns to commission his disciples for the beginning of their ministry. He tells the disciples that it is time for them to begin going two by two into the countryside, preaching and casting out unclean spirits. He advises them to travel lightly, taking nothing but a staff. They're to carry no bread, no bag, and no money in their belts. They're to wear sandals and not even take an extra tunic. But in verse 11, Jesus prepares them for failure when he says, "Whoever will not receive you nor hear you as you depart from there, shake off the dust that is under your feet for a testimony against them." Jesus makes it clear that they will not be insulated from failure just because they're going in his name. In fact, Jesus knows that the failure will be a real possibility. So he provides his disciples with a sacrament of failure, shaking the dust off their feet. Jesus tells his disciples that they should not fear failure. He says to shake off the dust and go on. Failure can lead to better things. Our failures can be a door to new success. He knew what his disciples didn't, that at the end of their road lay not political acclaim and hometown hero status, but a cross. And Jesus knew that those disciples were going to have to decide again and again if proclaiming the gospel of peace was worth the price. And in the end, most of them decided it was. And they paid for that decision with their lives. In this message, this message is a way of life so important to us that we'll live it and proclaim no matter what. Because the chances are, if we're really preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to make a few people squirm with discomfort. So, shake off the dust and go on. Failure can be creative. When we listen to the exalting music of Handel's Messiah, we usually assume it's surely written by a man at the pinnacle of his success. But that's not the case. In fact, it was written after he'd suffered a stroke. It was written while Handel lived in poverty and amid bleak surroundings. He had suffered through a politically deep night of gloom and despair over his failure as a musician. And the next morning, he unleashed his creative genius in a musical score that continues to thrill and inspire us generations later, the Messiah. Shake off the dust and go on. Failure can be a failure for Christ. Sometimes failure comes our way when we're doing everything in our power to serve Jesus. But he promised that his disciples would experience the same kind of rejection that he experienced. Let us never forget that almost every one of the first 12 suffered martyrdom for Christ. Failure is good when failure is for the sake of Christ. Shake off the dust and go on. Failure is not the end of the world. Failure is not a debilitating disease that ruins us for eternity. In fact, we should not be afraid to fail. We should expect failure at times. Then exercise Jesus' ritual of failure. Shake off the dust and go on. Amen.
as we set time for our intercession. So let's pray.
Lord God, at times your teaching was ignored, rejected, belittled, and unwelcome due to the lack of faith of the recipients. As we are called today to be your disciples, fill us with your Holy Spirit and support us by your gentle hand, that we may persevere in sharing the gospel clearly and faithfully and showing that we live by faith too. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, as the media has been full of our general election this week, we ask to grant our new Prime Minister wisdom, discernment, and insight to help best to respond to complex situations within the UK and overseas. We pray you would bless and strengthen him when making difficult decisions, both privately and publicly. Lord, would he be diligent and trustworthy, seeking to do what is right and good? This we pray for our government too. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, other news items continue with the conflicts in Ukraine and Gaza, and we hope for a sensible end to these and all other conflicts in our world. We also hear about the US election and ask for discernment and wisdom for and from the candidates of both parties. We also pray for those caught up in Hurricane Beryl in the Caribbean and along the American coastline, where lives, housing and businesses have been destroyed. We pray for comfort for families who have lost loved ones and their homes and livelihood, and hope that aid can get to them, help and help rebuild their future. Lord, in your mercy. On a lighter note, we have a glorious summer of sport on TV, from the Euros, Wimbledon, cricket, and forthcoming Summer Olympics. The pressure on our sports stars from others' expectations is immense, so we pray for protection and integrity in the midst of those pressures, praying they will be able to give their best and, if possible, achieve their dream. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious and loving God, week by week we bring you the names of loved ones and friends who have died and gone beyond us into eternal day. We recite names, briefly remember, and quickly move on. But to someone, each life was and remains precious beyond telling. Help us to remember and respect and to empathise with sincerity when these names are read to us, and help those who still lie in the no man's land of grief to adjust to this new reality and move to a different place nearer to you. This week we bring before you Eve Nelson, who is now in the arms of her loving God. We also bring before you those who especially need our prayers now: Peter, Claudia, and Paul, and the family on the loss of dear Eve. The family and friends of Joyce Beacock awaiting her funeral service here at St. Margaret's on the 18th. Amanda Ricketts still undergoing chemo. Gail Wellings still in hospital recovering from hip surgery. Deborah, who I understand has got an eye injury. And Norman Perfect, who has died recently. We also take a moment of silence to bring to you, Lord, those we know personally who need our prayers now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of July, Lord of the year, lead us through this month with faith, hope, and love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? So before God and one another, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's share with one another a sign of that peace. As we're all standing, we'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn number 415, O God, Our Hope in Ages Past.
Thank you.
This morning we'll use Eucharistic Prayer 2 on page 7. Eucharistic Prayer 2. The Lord is here.
His Spirit
is with us. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
to give thanks and praise. Please sit on you for our prayer. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. We continue on page 17 by saying together the prayer which Jesus himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so our final hymn. If you'd like to stand, we'll sing hymn 1583, We Have a Gospel to Proclaim.
Thank you.
go to our homes with this blessing. And so may the Father who loves you, the Son who sends you, the Spirit who empowers you, be with you and bless you. Wherever you are, whatever you do, whoever you are with, to his praise and glory, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.